Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Welcome to Next on the Tee with Chris Mascaro, the show where you get the inside access to the best minds in the game. Each week, Chris has the privilege of chatting with top instructors, legendary players, course architects, and industry insiders. If you're looking to improve your game, gain a new perspective, or just hear some incredible golf stories, you are indeed in the right place.
You see, Chris, let me tell you something. I haven't spoken to a press man in my life that is knowledgeable, seriously, as you are. Never.
And you do such a great job. It kind of makes me feel good all of a sudden.
You do so much for the game. You're so kind to all of us that are out there in the game. You know, we need more people like you in the game of golf.
Thank you for pressing play. Now, grab your clubs, step up to the tee, and let's get started. This is Next on the Tee.
Hi, folks, and welcome into this edition of Next on the Tee, where golf legends live and your game gets better. I'm your host, Chris Mascaro, and what an amazing show I have in store for you this week. I've got a former number one player in the world, a top instructor on both the physical and mental sides of the game, and one of the all-time great people on the planet, all four back with me. This is a quartet that would make the four tops throw in the towel. You're going to really enjoy the stories that these guys are about to share with you. I lead things off with a visit from former number one player in the world who also won the 1999 Players' Championship and the 2001 Open. That is, of course, David Duval. Now, joining David in the first segment is our good friend, top instructor Shane LeBaron. Shane was recently the first ever director of instruction at Cherry Hills. He and David have joined forces to create what I feel like is a one-of-a-kind community in Greenwood, South Carolina, reminiscent of the communities that they had back in the 50s and 60s. It is a massive facility that includes a fantastic golf course called Old Eight. They also have housing developments, a general store, parks, swimming pools, other retail outlets, restaurants, cabins for guests. You name it, they've got it. I feel like it's destined to become one of the top residential communities in the country. Can't wait for you to hear them tell all these great stories about what they're putting together. Both guys join me in just a moment. Following them is a guy who is very special to me. He's a mentor, a very cherished friend, the former host of the best golf travel podcast ever, Talking Golf Getaways, and that is Mitch Lawrence. He is back with me this week. He is fresh off a quick trip up to Alaska. Earlier this summer, he took a trip over to Scotland and played some of the lesser-known courses on the Isle of Arran. Wait until you hear some of the historic courses that he got to tee it up with on that island. We also talk about the Mike Strand's masterpieces at Caledonia Golf and Fish Club, True Blue and Tobacco Road. Plus, you'll hear where Mitch would tee it up if he had one round left to play. Then we're going to round things out on this episode with our monthly visit from the confidence doctor, Dr. Bob Winters. This month's theme is around questions, asking ourselves what we really want from the game of golf. What questions we should ask ourselves when we go play, questions he asks of his players, and questions so that we can make better decisions out on the golf course. Folks, this is an episode you're going to want to bookmark to come back and listen to over and over again because of how great the stories are. Thank you again for pressing play and for being a part of this week's show. I am so glad you're here for it. All right, but before we continue and get into the rest of the show, I want to start off by giving a shout out to my great friends over at the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. TribLive.com is the leading news website for Western Pennsylvania with news around the clock. Pittsburgh pro sports coverage, a high school sports network, a podcast network, which you can find Next on the Tee on. So go out and bookmark TribLive.com or download the TribLive app for free and stay up to date with all the news in Western Pennsylvania and this show. I also want to talk about our friends over at the Pittsburgh Brewing Company and Iron City Beer, a brand that I have loved my whole life and started drinking when I was 21 years old, of course. Whether you're a hacker or a scratcher, the secret to a successful day on the links is knowing when it's time to grab an iron. even if that means keeping it in the bag till the 19th hole. If it's been a while since you've reached for Pittsburgh staple beer, it's time to revisit Iron City. Thanks to their incredible new facility in Creighton, the best tasting Iron City beer ever made is now available at a course near you. Iron City pairs well with any lie and sky and serves as a friendly reminder that there's always next round. And because it's never too early for chocolate, their double chocolate bock is back for the season, and it's the perfect companion for a cozy winter evening. Check out all of their wonderful beers and their gift shop online by going to PittsburghBrewing.com. And this year, get ready to experience a game like never before at the Keep, the brand new Bill Bergen and Reese Jones co-designed course at Macklemore. Nestled high atop Lookout Mountain, the Keep offers breathtaking vistas that are made even more spectacular as the autumn colors paint the landscape in rich hues of red, orange, and gold. With its challenging layout and awe-inspiring views, every round here is an unforgettable adventure. Whether you're taking on the signature holes or just soaking in the scenery, the Keep is where your best golf meets nature's finest backdrop. So grab your clubs and join us up at Macklemore. The Keep is open and it's waiting for you. Okay, now next on the tee with me is another one of the top instructors in our game and a longtime friend of the show, Shane LeBaron. Along with former number one player in the world and 2001 Open champion David Duval, Shane, as you guys know, has been a great friend of the show for nearly a decade now. He's been a top instructor at several clubs around the country. Most recently, he was the first ever director of instruction at Cherry Hills. Last year, he moved back to South Carolina, became the director of instruction at Old Eight Golf Club in Greenwood. Going back to the early part of David's career, you may not remember, but he won the 1989 U.S. Junior Amateur Championship. He is a golf legend, particularly around here in Atlanta, where he played his college golf at Georgia Tech. He was a four-time All-American, a two-time ACC Player of the Year, and 1993 National Player of the Year. He has 20 professional wins, including that 01 Open. He won the Jack Nicklaus Award and the Haskins Award in 1993. He was a leading money winner out on the PGA Tour in 1998. He also won the Byron Nelson Award and the Varden Trophy that year. He was inducted into the Georgia Tech Hall of Fame in 2003. You can now see him playing out on the Champions Tour. And I couldn't be more honored. I get to have both guys with me here on Next on the Tee. Hey, fellas, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, Chris. I appreciate it. Good to hear your voice.
Thank you for your time.
So, Shane, I want to start with you, because the last time you joined me, you were still out at Cherry Hills. And most golf historians think of Arnold Palmer when you mentioned Cherry Hills because of the great comeback from seven strokes back to win the 1960 U.S. Open there. But Andy North won a U.S. Open there. Phil Mickelson won a U.S. Am there. Jack Nicklaus won a U.S. Senior Open there. Talk about your time at Cherry Hills.
Cherry Hills was great. I'm obviously thrilled to be doing what I'm doing now. But had a wonderful time at Cherry Hills. And I think the best thing that came out of Cherry Hills was the fact that I developed a great friendship with my friend here, David Duval.
So, David, I got to ask you this. There's a fantastic project that you and Shane have gotten involved with there in South Carolina. Take us back. How did you get involved in it?
It's a bit of a long story, but more than anything, it goes to Shane's involvement with teaching, his desire to help folks, desire to have kind of a place of his own. And really, if you dive even deeper, it goes well past me, and it goes to Mitch Kovitz and the relationship Shane has developed and teaching him and his family for, you know, 10, 12, 13 years, and finding what would ultimately be what we expect to be the best teaching and training facility in this country. And Mitch was all on board with that, and that's exactly what he envisioned for a place to, in a way, call his own. To have his family there to be a part of. And they were lucky enough through searching around to find what is now going to be Old Eight that was used to be the Links at Stony Point. And it kind of went from there. And I think it just really goes to just a love of the game, a love of what the game represents, a love of trying to help people get better in this game. And you bring all those factors together, and there you go. There's Old Eight.
So, Shane, let's expand on that, right? So talk about what Old Eight is, because this is no small project that you guys are working on there. Talk about all the amenities and the things that you have planned out around the golf course.
Well, I think what makes Old Eight special and unique is number one, you know, the Carolinas, as you're aware, it's a hotbed for golf. Big deal here, right? And we're effectively, I guess, the newest private club opening up here in South Carolina. In fact, our grand opening happens to be Friday. So we're really excited about that. But in looking at the project and looking at what does the future mean and what gives a place a, you know, a stronghold for the future? What's going to secure you? And in my mind, the word legacy keeps coming up, Chris. And I feel like all the great clubs in America have a great legacy program. And the beautiful thing here is that we've got the golf course, we've got fitness center, we've got different places to eat. We're going to have the greatest performance center around, hands down. We've got unbelievable food and a staff that's world class. And we sit on a lake that's got 250 miles lakeshore. So that it, now we've got water activities and boating and hiking and trails. And this is endless fun for the family sort of thing, right? And I think in order to get that legacy, families have to be involved. And so it's a very family-oriented, very golf-first place, if you will, but very family-oriented, where we realize that not everybody in the family, you know, if you've got four people there, two of them might love golf, two of them might want to play tennis or pickle or go to the trails or hang out at the lake or ride jet skis. But the cool thing is everyone can go. Two can go play golf, two can jump on the jet skis and go play pickleball, and they can all meet for lunch together and still be together as a family. And I think that's a feather in our cap.
For sure. So, David, as Shane points out, you know, the word legacy, you know, attaching both of your names to this project, this isn't just any other neighborhood golf club. Talk about the legacy. Is this something that, with your name attached to it, is this something you're giving back to the game of golf and is going to be a legacy that'll be passed on from generations to generations looking back at who David Duval was?
Well, that's the aim and that's the goal. And I don't think we're going to come, I think we're going to succeed far beyond that. You know, I think that to go back to Mitch and to Shane, and really, it came about my involvement. Shane, you can correct me, but a little more than 2 years ago.
Yeah,
and we were having talks about it and such. And my big thing, if I ever wanted to be involved with a project, was that it was a family golf course. It was a family place, a family community. It wasn't a place for guys to go and, you know, kind of hide and kind of forget about the other parts of their life. I wanted this to be a part where you can kind of get inside the gates and celebrate the most special thing in this world, which is your family. And you know, I think that bringing in Shane and his dedication to teaching and his desire to help people get better, I think having Mitch spearhead this whole thing and have, you know, such love and drive for exposing how great things can be, especially in different places. And then, you know, the decision to bring in Drew Rodgers, you know, you go down the line and it was just every T was crossed and every I was dotted as this is coming to fruition. And then, like Shane said, Friday the 7th is the kind of official opening of the golf course, and it's going to be a wonderful day. But I think for me personally, some of the excitement remains in the future because it's only going to get better after Friday, because the vision is only going to continue to grow and establish itself and come to fruition over the next multiple months and years. And it's going to be a place that there's going to be, everybody's going to be. And I think that's what excited me.
Yeah. So let's expand on that, David. You talk about vision and what it's going to be, you know, 2 years from now, 5 years from now. What is your vision for what Old Eight becomes?
Well, I think that, you know, with the desire to kind of help the area, I think the desire to, as we'll see on Friday, to improve the golf course, the existing golf course that was there, it was really more the routing. It was wonderful routing when we went down and saw it. They had space to grow, space to expand, space to make it longer, more of a championship style golf course. I think the thoughts of what other things could be involved in the future is very exciting for everybody involved with it. Once the training center, teaching facility, short course, practice area, cottages, lake amenities, all the trails keep getting expanded. We're talking general store. We're talking, I mean, there's downtown development. It's just amazing what is going on in the town of Greenwood there and the embrace that has been giving to Old Eight and the folks involved with it. And I just don't see how this is going to be anything less than spectacular. And, you know, when you get involved with something like this, you're hoping for really, really cool and really, really great and really, really awesome. But this is beyond a home run. I mean, this is going to be where people seek to go. And I think that all of the different things that we're bringing down there, people are going to be clamoring to get there.
So Shane, let's take that a step further, right? I mean, this thing is massive. This isn't just, like I say, like a neighborhood golf course. It's got a couple of other amenities to it, a practice facility and stuff like that. This project is just huge.
Yeah. Yeah. It's quite large. We're building 400 plus homes. We've got a great builder, Matt Green, from Bluffton, South Carolina, Frontlight Development, who I've known for 20 plus years, who's our developer, doing everything vertical for us. Beautiful plans, home sites, and some really cool, what's interesting, very modern ways of building your new home. So it's, you know, if you check it out online at old8.com, you can kind of get into the real estate side and see some of that. And it's really special. But, you know, at the end of the day, and I think David said everything so eloquently right there, but, you know, I think at the end of the day, this project is going to, it means a lot to me. Obviously it means a lot to David, but it also means a lot to this town, and having the support of everybody behind this and what we're doing, it really sets us up for a very, very bright future. We're thrilled about what we're doing.
Is this going to be accessible to the public? Is it going to be a private facility? Talk about, you know, as a place that people are going to seek to go, who's going to have accessibility to it?
It's a private club, gated community.
Got it. Okay. And David, you were talking about routing of the golf course a minute ago, and I saw some pictures of the course. There's a hole that's got water in front, looks like a par three, some of the bunkering around the green really reminded me of the 12th hole at Augusta National. Is that on purpose? Does it kind of make you harken back to your times playing in the Masters?
Yeah, no, because I think Old Eight stands on its own. What was done, the way they put in the links of Stony Point there, and then to go in and walk around the course, drive around and look at it, and to see, you know, I forget the exact numbers, but Shane could correct me, but roughly stretched out to 6,800 at the time. But, you know, one of my things, having played professionally for so long, I'm thinking about tournament golf, and I kept looking backwards from the championship tee boxes. And one of the things I was like, you can easily find 400 or 500 yards out here right now. And what that does in the modern game with proper green complexes, with rough, things like that, you can then talk about potential tournament golf in the future. And so as the first thing I had told Shane when I got back was like, the routing's there. You know, it already exists. It's there. And you bring in somebody you believe in and somebody you trust to help bring this vision to fruition, and you're going to have an amazing golf course. I don't want to remark about how Drew views it. I think it's best if he says these things, but I've only heard amazingly awesome things he's had to say about what he has done there. And I'm excited to see the finished product. I'm excited to see kind of how it's going to play out in the next year or two as we continue to discuss potential, corporate things, pro-ams, tournaments, things of that nature. And so that's the whole thing that's so exciting about this project, is that it's kind of like it's open to us. It's a clean slate. And we get to decide starting Friday. Well, it really started a long time ago, obviously, but starting Friday as the golf course opens, what it's going to be and what everybody wants it to be.
So, David, expanding on that comment, could you see a Champions Tour event being played out there at some point in the not too distant future?
Well, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot more than, I mean, let's put it this way. The golf course will accommodate it, unquestionably. You then have to look at accommodations, sponsorships, things like that. And that then becomes a discussion of kind of the team, you know, and it goes to Mitch and to go to it. Like, that's the great thing about what's going on, I think, down there. I've so often seen in different places that committees wreck places and really cause problems. And we've all kind of believed from the get-go that, you know, Mitch should be making these decisions, and he will certainly lean on folks for opinions. But when, you know, when you have to go to this committee or that committee, then decisions don't get made and don't get made properly. But when you have one person making decisions as to what's best, for especially for the vision of this project and what it is and is going to continue to become, those are thoughts and discussions we will have. And if a tournament itself is warranted, then I have no doubts that the team at Old Eight will have one soon.
I can't imagine the Champions Tour not doing you a solid at some point. And, we talk about legacy and things of that nature. For all that you've meant to the game by bringing a tournament to, you know, your legacy course, seems like the right thing to do.
You know what? I don't know if that was really a question. I don't know what to say to that. It's very kind of you to think that way and say those things. You know what? I still just try to hit good, solid golf shots. Don't think a whole lot of it. I hit so many bad ones at times, too. One of my sayings is there's nothing I can't do with a golf ball, and not all of it's good.
Shane, take us around the rest of the golf course, because, again, from the aerial photos that I've seen, it looks fantastic. So take us around what the rest of the golf course, what the feel of the layout is.
Well, it's got some amazing topography. And I would say that some of the pictures and stuff that you see, I heard you bring up Augusta National earlier, right?
Yep.
We're not quite an hour from there, from here. So our land isn't all that different, right? And we've got some of that topography, some, you know, those hillsides and rolling type terrain throughout the golf course, which kind of makes it a little bit unique. It's certainly not overdone or contrived, but it's just the right amount of kind of zip that you want when you look at it. It's from the back tees, we can push this thing to about 74 and make it kind of very difficult if we needed to. It's nice to have that luxury of that extra space. It's definitely going to benefit, and I think this is going to help, you know, David here a little bit when he comes out and we start battling to see who's going to get the course record on Friday. I'm pretty sure it's not going to be me, but it's really set up for a second shot golf course. If you're a good quality iron player, you're good at controlling your distances, your trajectories, you're going to play this golf course very well. It's fairly fair off the tee. It gives you some space. You get some room to move balls. But if you're going to play it well, you're going to play it well because you hit really high quality second iron shots or iron shots into the green second shots. And that's kind of what the basis of this golf course is for the most part. I think our architect, Drew Rogers, did an outstanding job. It's a golf course where you've got greens that have a lot of trees and things behind it that give it that depth and that definition. We've also have greens that almost look like they're floating because there's nothing behind it, right? And there's some holes that play very level. There's some holes that play with hills. There's some holes that play around the lake or around the lake out here. So it really gives you a different feel as it goes. And And one of the things that Drew Rogers and I talked a lot about was what connects somebody to a golf course, like what makes them really love it and say, oh, this is my place. This is my, I love this golf course. And, you know, if we all interviewed our friends, you're going to hear the Oakmonts and the Seminoles and the Cypress Point and Pebble Beach and so on and so forth. And, but if you ask everybody why that's their favorite golf course, everybody's why is different. And I think the key to the why is the fact that it becomes memorable, right? Like that's the thing that connects with you. It sticks with you. And we have created, Drew Rogers, our architect, has certainly created a golf course that is exceptionally memorable. You're going to get off this, the 18th hole, put out, go get a cheeseburger, and I swear to you, you're going to want to go do it again. And that's what this is.
So, and you've got a picture on your Instagram page of an Airstream RV. It says Old 8 Airstream. Is that for travel? Is that for looks? Is that, or is that for something other, so, some other specific purpose?
All credit to our head golf professional, Alex Applebaum. Alex, our golf shop is not going to be finished in time for opening. And so we needed to do something. And so Alex found a company in Birmingham, Alabama that that really, you know, remember that show Pimp My Ride?
Uh-huh,
they do that to Airstreams. So Alex literally designed this thing and they built it and dialed it in. And it is our temporary golf shop until the golf shop is done. And then the halfway house is getting redone. So when as the halfway house is getting redone, it then becomes the temporary halfway house. And then when the halfway house is done, it goes down to our par three course that we're building. We start on around end of December, first of the year. And that becomes kind of the permanent home, your place to hang out and grab a drink and kind of chill and just relax around the par three course. That will be its permanent resting spot. But I think that I got to give all the credit to Alex there. He pulled the trigger on that and made all that happen. And it is exceptionally cool. And if you're around this way, Chris, it's worth having a look.
No doubt. I can't wait to check it out. Fellas, just a couple more before I let you go. And David, the term that Shane used during the course of that last answer was talking about why, you know, why playing there, why doing all of these things. What's your why for why this is going to be a place that you really wanted to be involved with?
Well, I wanted to go back to the Airstream, but that actually will, I can answer kind of that question going back to that as well, because when you decide to go down a path like this, what, you know, you talk amongst, and what's the most important thing? And the whole point this whole time has to been to show and present and give an amazing golf course to what is the membership and what will be the future membership. The other things come with it, okay? But most importantly, it wasn't as important to get the golf shop open or the halfway house open as it was to get the golf course. Don't worry about the golf shop for now. Let's get this, the golfing, that's what people are coming for. And it, to further down that, I think as much as anything for me, I go to a couple of things. The area obviously is a very desirable area. Carolinas, like Shane said. The ability of Shane, who I met, actually funny, through, it's a long story we have to do it another time. He was at Cherry Hills, but I didn't know him. My son did. but I had spent time with Jim Hardy and with Chris O'Connell as well. And so to then talk to somebody who kind of understands the game, understands what proper motion means, what proper movement means, what proper hitting means. You know, he's a teacher out there who can tell you, and this thing I tell people in golf, you know, so many people, and you've been around this game a long time, want to think the tour players all hit the ball great. And it's simply just, it's far from true. And I tell people, whenever you go to a tournament, you know, go down the range with your back to the players, and you'll hear the difference between people who hit golf balls. Shane knows how to help people get to hit golf balls like that. I think that's one thing. So it's my faith and trust in him to help me to get to where I want to be, to help my son get to that place. Then you look at Mitch, who's headed up this whole thing. He won't do anything that's not just right. And that's kind of how I approach the game of golf. That's how Shane approaches the game of golf. That's how the team that's been assembled down there approaches the game of golf. And I think that what Shane said is a very something that everybody needs to think about when you play, because so many times, even in tournament golf, you know, you get off a golf course and like, hey, remember back there on seven? You're like, yeah, what was seven? I don't know. And you start going through and trying to remember, you can't. And that's what you don't want that. You know, we can find that anywhere. All of us who love this game, we can find that. So we want something that sticks with you. You know, when you play a golf course one time and remember the golf course, that speaks volumes to me. And that's what this is. And I get asked so many times, as all tour pros do, you know, what's your favorite golf course? And I tell them that I don't have one. I have been fortunate in my life and my career to see not all, but most of the best golf courses in this world under championship conditions. And so my criteria, certainly at this age, I'll be 54 not too long from now, as to whether a golf course is good or not, is would I want to play there every day? And I can tell you, like on our tour, you know, there's, you know, I don't know, 20, 30% of them maybe, you know, but I can promise you I'm going to want to be at Old Eight every day. I'm going to want to play there every day. I live in Denver, but that's a place you want to play every day. And I think that says a lot to what a golf course is as well.
David, as I look back over the last several years, your game has gotten better and better every year out on the Champions Tour. I'm sure Shane has had a hand in that. I'm sure your work ethic has had a huge hand in that. When I look at this season, you shot a final round 67 at the Simmons Bank Championship a couple of weeks ago. You've had four top tens over the course of this year, including some great play at the Furyk and Friends tournament early in October. How do you feel right now about the state of your game?
I have two answers to that. I feel very good about my game and what I've been doing, and I'm nowhere happy with the results. I don't think my results are reflective of how I've been playing. I will say finished up my fourth season. I will say when I first started out there, having been away from it, you know, for, I don't know, 7, 8 years, whatever that number exactly was, it took a lot longer to kind of get into it and get comfortable with the day in, day out of competition. But I thought it'd be towards the end of my first year. I started to get comfortable kind of the middle of the second year. Had some hiccups through that time from like my middle of the second year through the middle of the third year. But this year, and I'm fairly good. And Shane, I think this is one of the things Shane likes about me. He'll say this, maybe he'll disagree. But as I sit here, my year's over because I didn't get in the top 36 for the Schwab finals. I think Miguel, I know they mix it up now that the playoffs have started with points, but I have not played golf like Stuart Sink has and like Miguel has, but I did not play golf like my finish reflected. I played golf that should have been, in my mind, somewhere from, call it 23 to 32 on the Schwab list. 20 to 32, somewhere in there. I'm not sure, but didn't play top five golf this year. And so what I need to figure out for the next several seasons going forward is how to get the results to reflect how I'm actually playing.
Shane, talk about working with David and the work that you guys have put in together.
He's truly amazing to work with. And honestly, it's nice when you're teaching a thoroughbred, you know, if I'm being honest about it. David is by far one of the great ball strikers ever. And it's a sound, and he talked about that earlier, turning your back, you know, listening. It's a sound that's unmistakable. David makes that. It's been fun, you know, being on his team. It means a great deal to me, not just because of his play, but because of who he is. I think David would say this, and I don't mean to put words in his mouth, but he's a husband and father first, and he's a golfer second. And I have tremendous amount of respect for him as a human being, as a man, and obviously as a player. So it's really been one of the highlights of my career working with him. We talk the same language. You know, when we're working together, we kind of get it. I think our communication over the years just continues to get better. And that's an interesting thing with a teacher, with a relationship like this, because typically what happens is those communication barriers, or if you will, there's almost a timeline. And all of a sudden the communication back and forth starts to get blurry because it just doesn't work. Well, with David and I over time, it just seems to keep getting better. And I'm excited about that. And like I said, he's been hitting some of the best golf shots that you've ever seen. And it's just a matter of time before it's his time. And when that opportunity comes, he's going to take full advantage of it. He's that good.
One last one for both of you, because here's what I've taken away getting back to old eight for what I feel like this whole project really comes down to, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm starting to get a feeling of what community used to be like, kind of old time, you know, going back to old school, where it was a place where people gathered, families were together, and they got to have, you know, it was just a fun time. And I think we've lost a little bit of that in our society. It feels like what you guys are building there at Old Eight is a real sense of community where everybody can gather together. Would you agree with that?
That's been the goal from day one, Chris. You nailed it.
100%. That seems to have disappeared in this day and age right now.
Yes.
And we want the families who have joined and are there to come down there and use the property. And not just the husband, the father, to go away for a golf weekend. You know, go play your golf in the morning. And if you're playing with your family, great. If not, they're doing other things, go hang with them all afternoon.
Guys, before I let you go, Shane, remind our listeners how they can stay up to date with what you guys are doing, whether they're doing it online or on social media.
You can follow us on social media at Old Eight, OLDEEIGHT. You can check out our website, www.old8.com. And you can always find me at Shane LeBaron Golf on Instagram.
David, how about for you?
Oh, you know what? I'm not sure what it is. I have an X. I think it's Dave, at David Duval 5'9", or at David 5'9" Duval. I forget.
I think it's David.
I'm not particularly active.
Duval.
I do. Yeah, there's an Instagram. It'd be a combination of those things as well, I think. So look at Shane's. He follows me on that, and you could find it there.
There you go. Fellas, thank you so much for being generous with your time and sharing your insights and stories about Old Eight and what you guys are building there. It sounds fantastic. I hope you'll come back, stay up to date with us on all the great things as the course progresses, as the club grows, and all the great things that both of you guys are doing. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate your time.
Take care,
Thanks
fellas.
For your time.
All right. Be good.
That is Shane LeBaron and David Duval, folks. You want to talk about a club that just seems like getting back to our roots as a society and as a community. Old Eight seems like it's a home run. And again, OLDE is the spelling of old. So Old Eight is where you're going to find it online, old8.com and at Old Eight on social media. I can't tell you how excited I am to be able to talk to these guys about it and hopefully one day go out there and check it out. Because, as you know, we were talking in the first segment of the show with Mitch Lawrence, right? It's an idea of kind of our society. I feel like we've lost our way a little bit. I think that's due to social media and some of the things that you're going to find out on Twitter and that sort of thing. But kind of getting back to a place where we can all feel safe and enjoy and family and a sense of community and a sense of oneness. I think we've lost our way in that area. So kudos to Shane and David and the folks out there for building a new way to kind of get back to our roots, if you will. So kudos to those guys. I'll let you know. Hopefully we can get Shane and David back on the show to hear how the opening went and how the course is developing and things of that nature. Again, it's down in Greenwood, South Carolina. So like he said, about an hour from Augusta. So go check that out, get involved, take a look at what's going on there and the great things that they're doing. And look, like I said to David, I've been checking out how he has progressed on the Champions Tour. I think he's a little hard on himself because he is getting better, and kudos to the work that he's doing with Shane, but I think he is getting better each and every season out there. And like Shane said there at the end, it's just a matter of time until David finds himself back in the winner's circle, rooting hard for him. Like I say, we'll catch up with both guys before too long. All right, my friends, it is time for me to put a bow on this episode of Next on the Tee. My sincere thanks again to Mitch Lawrence, Dr. Bob Winter, Shane LeBaron, and David Duvall for joining me this week. Scheduled to join me next week are Tom Patrick, who will be back with us, as will Terry Hashimoto. And Terry's been a wonderful friend of the show for years, a master of so many technological advances. He is just an amazing individual. Looking forward to having him back. And speaking of amazing, we'll also get a return visit from our great friend and 1984 gold medal figure skater, Scott Hamilton. How great is that guy? Really looking forward to next week's show. It's going to be a lot of fun. I hope you'll press play and come back and be a part of it with us. I want to thank our friends again over at the Pittsburgh Tribune Review for hosting this show on their site. Look, folks, for coverage of everything going on in Western Pennsylvania, including your favorite sports, just go to triblive.com. You can find this show by then clicking on the sports section tab and the most recent episode right there front and center for you on the homepage of the sports section. Or you can click on sports and then podcast network. You'll see the Next on the Tee logo. Click on that. Many of the most recent episodes from this season are right there for you as well. You can also find this show pretty much anywhere you get your podcast content, including out on Good Pods, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, GolfNewsNet.com. But folks, as I say each and every week, when I sit back and I thank my lucky stars, I have a huge helping of vitamin G. What is that? Gratitude. My gratitude goes out to each and every one of you for being the greatest supporters in the history of podcasts. I appreciate you all so very much. Until next time, hit them straight, my friends. All right, my friends, it is time for me to put a bow on part one of this week's show. My sincere thanks again to Shane LeBaron and David Duvall for making it so much fun and so informative and such great things that they are doing. I hope you enjoyed it. Now be sure to come back and press play on part two for my conversations with one of my all-time favorites and a guy who has meant so much to me on this show and in my personal life, Mitchell Lawrence. You guys know how much I love Mitch. He is fantastic. So many great stories from his life and his career and the things that he has been a part of and the places that he's been. Talking Golf Getaways. If you haven't gone to listen to Mitch's podcast, you need to go find that and listen to those shows. So many great places that he has been around the world that he takes you along with in that journey. So go check that out and come back for part two to check out more of his stories. Plus, we get our regular monthly visit from Dr. Bob Winters, the confidence doctor. Doc is always great each and every month. So many great things that he has taught us so far over the last year and a half or so that he has been a part of this show. And it doesn't change this time around. Get that notebook ready. The confidence doctor is going to help you play a lot better and enjoy the game a whole lot more. So folks, most of all, each and every show, each and every time, each and every day, my biggest thanks go out to each and every one of you. You are for sure the greatest supporters in the history of podcasts, bar none. I appreciate each and every one of you so very much. Until next time, hit them straight, my friends.
Thanks for joining Chris again this week on Next on the Tee. We hope you enjoyed the conversations as much as we did. Please share the show with your golf buddies and be sure to follow it on TribLive or your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode. Thanks for pressing play and being part of the journey. We'll see you next week, right here, where the best minds in golf share their stories.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.